Greetings to the brightest audience in the world. I think that's what Bob says when he's normally here. I am Greg Jackson, filling in for Bob. And you may have heard me on the show before as one of Bob's guests. I've been fortunate and honored to have appeared on the show before. And now Bob, as many of you know, is very involved in the personhood initiative here in Colorado and is going to be taking off the whole month of May to put the game plan together, to coalesce it, to solidify it, and to ready the troops so that not only do we win the first battle by just getting the personhood initiative on the ballot, but that we achieve victory in November and pass this thing. And I firmly believe that this is going to pass, that we will be the first state in the country to have personhood enshrined in the Constitution, which would make all abortions illegal. And I think that would just be an amazing, amazing thing. And I have no doubt that it will happen because of the efforts of Bob and other God-fearing men like him. And I am looking forward to doing my part. And one of the ways that you can do your part before we get to our guest is to help keep Bob's show on the air. Bob Enyart Live, been on the air for many, many years. And just I, as a listener, somebody who appreciates Bible-based, truth-based radio, someone unapologetically going to the airwaves every day and telling it like it is from a uniquely Judeo-Christian perspective. And if you want to ensure that BEL, Bob Enyart Live, stays on the air, please dig down deep into your pocket and make a donation. There are two ways to do that. To keep him on the air, you can go to kgov.com, which is the website, kgov.com, and you can also call at 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278 to keep Bob Enyart Live on the air. And I have no doubt that many of you who enjoy listening to this show will make a donation, because there's no way that this show comes to an end. This show is too good and too important. So with that, I want to introduce our guest here for the show. This gentleman, I had the opportunity, the pleasure and the honor and the blessing of meeting, I think about a year ago, and had him on my show when I was in Los Angeles on KDAR, and talked to him a little bit about his organization, Asleep No More. And recently had the pleasure of reading his book called Where Are Our Shepherds? Where Are Our Shepherds? Disobedience, pride, greed, fear, and silence of the shepherds are causing the loss of life and the souls of our children. And the author of the book, one of the two authors, it's written by Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, who is running for Congress actually in Ohio right now, who's another pro-life, pro-family warrior, but also Dr. Gregory Thompson, who is a co-author of this book, is with me here live, and I appreciate your being here, Dr. Thompson.
Oh, God bless you, Greg, and I'm going to follow right up with you to reinforce what you said about keeping programs like this on, which are just a remnant right now, if the people are listening, that are bearing witness to the truth, just like the good Lord did and the prophets and the apostles who were all killed for bearing witness to the truth. So this is a gift to the people when they have an opportunity to hear something that the mainline media will never do, never.
Well, yeah, and even though, too, Dr. Thompson, that somebody like Bob may not be on 50 of the largest stations like Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh may be, the fact of the matter is God always works with a remnant. You look throughout the Bible, it's always a remnant. Remember Gideon's army, God just kept paring it down and paring it down, right? Why? So that he could get the glory, so that he could get the honor. And I truly believe that, and I'd like to get to some of this with you, you know, during our interview, because I think this really is an important thing to cover, which is that there are so many Christians who walk by sight, who think, well, we got to have numbers on our side. You know, we have to do things that are pragmatic to end things like abortion or to stop same-sex marriage. And therefore, because we have to be pragmatic, pragmatism calls for compromising certain times. And we have to do what we have to do. We got to take an incremental approach, for example. Before we can end abortion, we need to regulate it. And so I think what happens is you have all of these people who are self-described Christians who are walking not by faith that God can do anything, because he says so in the Bible. All things are possible with God, but who are in fact walking by sight like the rest of the world, thinking, well, we need numbers on our side to do all this. We need congressional majorities. We need to have five pro-life judges on the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade before all this stuff can stop. And meanwhile, if you go through the Bible, it's the exact opposite, isn't it?
Absolutely exact opposite. And again, for the very reason, so that no man can boast. God will be the author of all good. It comes from him, and he'll use willing vessels, and then it comes back to him. But he's the start and finish of all good. So when it gets down, he lets us have our own schemes of compromise and everything, and sadly, those that claim the name of Christ have been caught up in those compromises. And every time we compromise, we are compromising towards Satan. You never bring him up toward the good Lord in a compromise. It's a compromise to Satan, you know, and those that, you mentioned pro-life, and while we're on it, you know, those that say that they're pro-life, but it's okay to kill the baby after certain things are done, or that you can kill a baby because of rape or anything, we need to change the rhetoric, I believe, Greg, to saying that they're pro-death, with some exceptions, you know, and not even give them the honor of calling them pro-life, because Christ would never stand for any of their schemes or compromises, you know, in his walk. And we need to address that more and more, and with great sadness. I know they need to be prayed for. I pray for them to have a change of heart, but it's been happening in our Christian ministries and within our Christian families, because it's more comfortable.
Mm. You're listening to Bob Enyart Live, Greg Jackson filling in with my guest, Dr. Gregory Thompson. Dr. Thompson, before we get into that, and these are all good things that I want to cover with you, who is Gregory Thompson for our listeners who may not have heard about you, Asleep No More? What is that organization? How did you come to get involved in all of this pro-family, pro-life work that you do and are so passionate about?
Well, I would say that I was probably 97% there. I'm a former superintendent of schools, and Greg, I had a job that most people would die for. I mean, you know, I was well paid, and I was getting 100 hugs a day from the children, and it was one I was going to coast out of life on. You know, I thought, well, it can't get any better than this, and the good Lord started putting the truth into my path in January of 03. It's not that he hadn't put it in my path before, but I was blind. I was somewhat willfully ignorant, you know, which is a sin in itself. You know, something that was going to make me uncomfortable in what I was doing, I could rationalize with the best of them at that time. In that search for truth, it was very strongly given to me that someone needed to warn the people. And I was telling my mother and my aunt, and they started praying for me and said, well, why don't you do something? I said, oh, not me. How about Greg Jackson or Bob Enyart or somebody else?
And, I don't want that job.
Yeah, I was fighting it. I was very comfortable in the world.
I thought I was the only one to say that. It makes me feel better than others.
I know. We can relate on that. And so the good Lord, I think I spoke it into existence on October 21st, 2003, when the CTA president, the union president, came into my office for the teachers, which was normal every 4 to 6 weeks. And as he was getting up to leave, he said, oh, and one of the teachers said, Mr. Thompson's always talking about God. Well, I was one of those that had rhetoric, but not the actions, for the most part, to back it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, Robert, I'm going to speak about God until I die, or until they fire me, not knowing for the first time in my life I was being prophetic to the next year. And I went home that At 3 o'clock in the morning, for the first time in my life, I rolled out of bed onto my knees and into the presence of the King of Kings. And it was so awesome. I wish everyone's was that radical. Their second birth was that radical. It's not that I saw him, but when you know, you know. And basically, he said, step out of the boat and trust me, and with all I've given you, warn my children. I was able to see at that point that if I did that, I was going to step out of a comfort zone and go past a point of no return. And he allowed me to see that so that I could say yes, and knowing that, I said, Lord, I will obey you, but I sure don't know what to do. And he gave me Proverbs 3:5-6, lean not on my own understanding, but trust in him, and he would guide my steps. I put that full trust in him, and we've had conferences from San Diego to Boston, and people say, well, how do you do that? And I said, I didn't have to know. I just had to step out there. And 4 months later, because within 30 days, I was starting to, as a setting superintendent, I was starting to tell parents, run as fast as you can. Get out of the government schools, you know. And I was going to different communities. I was doing it in their gymnasium or their auditorium or their cafeteria, and I was telling the parents in different communities, get out. And Satan tried to throw a roadblock in there. A lady sued me in federal court for having 10 commandments up, which I'd had up for 9 years, and they also added a Bible on my desk, a cross on my office wall, and that on the Veterans Day celebration that we do at school, they did not want me to have a prayer said for our boys and girls dying in Iraq at the time, but even attack that such a thing as in this country, that it's a terrible thing to acknowledge God and to pray for those that are dying and defending the country. And so through that lawsuit, because the good Lord had touched me 4 months earlier and given me, we can talk tough, just like Peter did. He knew Christ to be the Son of God, and he said, I'm going to die for you, I'm going to go to prison for you. And we can all have that talk tough like we do in our churches, you know, things need to be done, we'll do this, I'll do this. And not a one of us in our carnality can stand in those things. It's only through the power, his power, and the Holy Spirit that we have the strength to be able to stand. And the good Lord had given me that strength that day. And so I'd been, ever since that moment, he'd given me strength to stand, and I was able to tell him I will not pay the lady, will not take things down, I will not quit acknowledging God. And so they fired me. And but the good Lord had already set plans in place to take a walk with him, and been doing that ever since, Greg. And he has honored it, as long as it stays about him, he will honor things. And if I could bring that home to the people that are listening, you know, in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He will give our needs and give you the strength for anything that we're doing if we honor and glorify him first, make it about him first. He'll put everything else in order for us. Mm. If people trust that, you know, if they say that Scripture is true, you know, it's like I was down at the Capitol today speaking to 120 people, and I asked them, I said, what is this book? And they said, well, it's the Word of God. I said, is it true? They said, every word of it. And I said, then why are we who believe that not listening to it? I said, God himself tells you who your enemy is, and he tells you how to armor up against that. How many of you could tell me, if I asked you to come up here, could tell these people what the armor of God is? And the most I've had across this country is 8 people hold their hand up. Maybe there have been some others that may have known it, but were afraid I might call on them. Hmm. But the people themselves call it true, but they don't even know how to armor themselves up against the powers of principalities, against wickedness in high places, and that is what is behind. We're living at a time when the culture of life, which is Christ, is battling openly, very aggressively, the culture of death, which is Satan. And many people, even Christians, have been duped into aiding Satan in this battle. And I'm going to say right now, if the people, if they love their children, keep your radio on today, because we're going to talk about some things that some are just ignorant, like all of us are ignorant about different things. Some are just ignorant about some of the things that will be spoken about and just go along with the flow because that's what's happening in their life. But there are some that are willfully ignorant because it's comfortable to be willfully ignorant. And so right now, the good Lord is using a remnant, and I'm going to say again, like yourself, Greg, like Bob Inyart, like Wabi, there are so many that have abandoned themselves, you know, that it's not about our own skin, but it's about what God wants and about others. If we'd come into our church instead of, I think we spend 1% of our time, it's been estimated, on outward, and 99% of our self on inward, and we do that as 150,000 people, it's estimated, are going to hell every day. Well, this hopefully will give a wake-up call to parents and to shepherds and to our leaders that if we're gonna stop that, you know, be used to stop that, because it's only going to be the good Lord. It's so big right now. There's so many schemes out there think that they're going to turn around, whether it's the Tea Party or the 9/12 or any of those things. If it's not led by Christ, they're going to go down. What they will do will be damaging, even though in their minds, you know, they think they're doing the right thing. And God bless them. I'm glad they're coming out. They need to get rid of all the vomit that's in Washington, D.C., but they need to do it with the right leadership. And I've been blessed to speak at a half a dozen Tea Party 9/12 events around the country, and just try to bring that out. If they understand, when we talk about sovereignty, it's got to be God's sovereignty first that we talk about, not about people's sovereignty or the state's sovereignty. It comes in that order: God, people, state, then nation. If we order it properly, the people will not mourn anymore. Right now, because of the schemes, even within the church and ministries, we put into office people to rule over us that are not righteous men that fear God. That's the only qualifications that we're supposed to have for the leaders we pick over us. But we have all these different schemes. Well, if we can just get the right if we can get the right Republican in office, to get the right Republican president, to get the right Republican Senate, to get the right Republican nominee to the Supreme Court, then we can do, we can turn around Roe versus Wade. Well, Satan would like to keep whispering that to you as you murder millions of babies. And a holy God cannot bless a nation. He's not blessing our nation, because a holy God cannot look upon our nation because we've turned our backs on him.
Right.
We murder our children, and we do what's right in our own eyes.
He's not blessing us, is he? I mean, this is what Jeremiah Wright, Obama's a pastor for 20 years, said, basically, and I have to agree with. He said, God is damning America, and I believe that he is, but for maybe different reasons probably than Jeremiah Wright thinks. But he is not blessing us, is he?
He is not, and again, not because of what Jeremiah Wright thinks, but he's not blessing America. And one of the things, if people would just open their eyes, and they're blinded right now, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if they don't follow my commands, I'm not only going to forget them, I'm going to forget their children. My golly, he's given us the word on what we have to do to protect our children, to protect our country, and want it healed. If we want it healed, we can have 1,000 different schemes. But he told us this is the way to do it. You pray, you humble yourself, you follow my commands, turn from your wicked ways, seek my face. and then I will heal your land. But we got all these other schemes that are put forth even by Christian ministries and Christian pastors. You know, they make one thing that we have to understand, and the audience has to understand, that humbleness must be one of the greatest attributes of the warriors for God. God is willing to work with those that have humbled before him.
A contrite heart and a broken spirit is all
Absolutely.
That the Lord requires.
And may his holy name be praised forever. You know, we have put our children at great risk in this country because we teach about, from the pulpits, a mousy figure in Jesus. This Jesus, he was an intercessor that took hits and blows and bled for us.
Mm-hmm.
He was he was the Lord of hosts. That's right. What he was called, the captain of captains, the general of generals, the king of kings. He's the Lion of Judah, and we even made him out to be this mousy figure. He loves people so much that he went out there and went into battle with his own life and did things that none of us could have done. But because of him and him standing in there as an intercessor for us, he stood in the gap and filled that breach, and he's looking right now who will stand in there and fill those breaches. And there is a remnant. That's an exciting part of what you said earlier. If the people will listen and be a part of that remnant, you know, God's calling you. If the listeners listening say, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you want to serve the good Lord, to each of you? And if you do, you can say it to your wife, to the people in church and everything, but if your heart is truly there and you want to serve the Lord, you better buckle up, because the good Lord's looking for those hearts that want to serve him.
Mm.
And he'll take that remnant into battle, because we need to all understand he's going to bring his bride through no matter what. He'll bring the church through, but it's going to be the church as he said it was. It's not going to be all this game plan and things that are happening of businesses and hirelings and all types of, like a friend put, Christian pimps. That's not pleasing in the eyes of God. He will never bring that through as his bride. But those that trust in him, honor him, and stand up for him, they will come through on the other side. They'll be able to have the strength to come through the hard times that are coming, because we've had hard times. But if we don't go back to him, it's going to get so much worse on the people and their families. And if they love their children, I'm going to give them some things right now that, Greg, if you're ready me to get into it a little bit on the education aspect that we have turned over for others to control outside of what God told us to do with our children and the responsibility that belongs and sets on the shoulders first of the parents. And then after that should be led and helped and mentored in the church pulpits, but because they might step on some toes and somebody might quit giving money to them, there's ministries and pulpits that will give a feel-good message that's going to love people right into hell.
Mm. You know? Yeah, and you talk about this in your book. And by the way, this is something that Bob Enyart Live listeners hear. This is a common theme here. Get your kids out of the humanist indoctrination camps, where they goal really is to try to take every iota of a belief in God out of those kids as they can. But you talk about that in your book, Where Are Our Shepherds? Which, by the way, I loved. As you know, I bought quite a few copies and have given them out. In the last remaining, I guess, 4 minutes, talk to our listeners a little bit. We're going to get into it more tomorrow, because you're going to be back to talking more in depth about your book. Talk to people about why you wrote the book, Where Are Our Shepherds, and what are they going to find in here? Give them a teaser for tomorrow.
Well, I wrote Where Are Our Shepherds because the guilt of where our world is right now, the condition of our country and the world right now, can be laid right at the doors of the church. And those that have taken on those jobs, or I say jobs, that should be a calling, But for many, it is just a job. It looks like an easy job for many to pick up. They become hirelings. And because of that, our children are put at risk for eternity. You know, our children right now, they will receive a poorer education. They will be more likely to engage in sex and perversions like sodomy, et cetera. They'll be more likely to be molested, bullied, taught lies, get STDs, become pregnant, selfish, rebellious, and more likely to kill your child or grandchild, and more likely to commit suicide. But worst of all, your children right now, because of what's happening in the education systems and the pulpits not speaking up, worst of all, your children will be more likely to go to hell. And so if you care about the children, if you love your children, don't turn off the program. You put that on tomorrow so you can find out what's going on, not only in the education system, but also in the pulpits in this country.
Well, I love the book because, Dr. Thompson, this is something that I had an epiphany a couple of years ago. I used to be one of these guys who thought the more Republicans we elect, the better off the country's going to be, and it was all a political game until the Lord opened my eyes to see that we don't have a political problem in this country. We have a spiritual problem, and there can only be one solution, a spiritual solution. We're a backslidden nation, and that he opened my eyes to the fact that the abortionists and the homosexuals and the liberals aren't the problem. They're a symptom of the problem, that the major problem, and you nailed it when you quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, repent, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, I would hear from heaven and heal their land. So he's given us the answer, and this is what your book goes into depth. It talks about, and you give specific examples, and tomorrow when we pick it up, that's what I want to talk about from your fantastic book, Where Are Our Shepherds? Dr. Gregory Thompson has been my guest. We'll be back with you tomorrow, Dr. Thompson. I appreciate your being on the show.
God bless you. Greg, I don't know if you want to give them away. I'm going to give you and Bob.
Where can people go to your website, by the way, real quick?
They can go to Asleep, ASLEEPKNOWMORE.com.
That's right, asleepnomore.com. And by the way, while you're on the internet, go to kgov.com, make a donation to Bob Enyart Live, support two real worthwhile endeavors, and also you can call in your donations for Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. You get a free copy of my book, Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies. Thanks for being with us here on Bob Enyart Live. See you tomorrow. Be well.